Very special guest today. His name is Rory Cooper. He is communications director at the Heritage Foundation, frequent guest on Fox News, CNBC, CNN, Bloomberg. He's written for Politico, the National Review, and the Daily Caller. He's worked in the White House for George W. Bush, as well as the Department of Energy. Mr. Cooper, thanks so much for being with us.
It's great to be with y'all.
Tell me this, with the primary this week for Illinois came through, Mitt Romney wins. What's your assessment so far in this primary?
Well, I mean, obviously we've been looking at a delegate count so far. It's been a tight race politically, but the delegate numbers continue to stack up for Governor Romney.
Right.
If we move to Louisiana next, where that might not work out for him, but it looks down the long road that the states that come after Louisiana are going to favor the governor. So, you know, it looks like Romney's starting to pull away, but, you know, as we've witnessed over the last 6 months, anything can happen.
Yeah. No doubt about that. And I've seen a number of different commentators and different folks say that as they watch this primary drag on, it's becoming tiresome. Do you think the American people are growing weary of this vetting process?
Well, the American people have grown weary of many vetting processes in the past, including
right.
President Obama and Secretary Clinton. Back, I remember the 1996 primary where Republicans were waiting it out for a while, and of course Bill Clinton suffered a tough primary before he eventually got the nomination. These things last a while, and voters have to have their say, and sometimes it can get a little ugly, but that's the way the primary process works. And once we have a general election candidates up there, that's all people will be focused on, and a lot of these small issues from the primary will go away.
It seems to me that the mainstream media is trying to frame this field of Republican candidates as being weak. And the reason that we're having this vetting process go on this long is there's no real front runner, there's no real great candidate, they would say. I disagree. I think there's three really good choices in candidates. Ron Paul I would exclude because I just don't think he's a viable candidate personally. But do you think this is a weak field?
I don't think it's a weak field. I think that both sides are going to put up strong candidates. President Obama's going to be a strong candidate in the fall, and whoever takes Republican nomination is going to have a strong fight and be able to keep it very tight. But this election is going to come down to issues, and on the issues, it's going to be very hard for President Obama between health care and energy and the economy. He's going to have a very tough time making the case for his reelection, which is going to give any opponent a strong opportunity.
No doubt about that. You know what? There's one issue that I want to get your opinion on. The Department of Justice, Eric Holder, it seems to me that over and over again, issues are falling in his lap that should be his responsibility, and he seems to blame others. What's your opinion on this president's Department of Justice and specifically Eric Holder?
Well, I mean, clearly Eric Holder has left Congress in the dark on issues like Fast and Furious. He recently challenged the voter ID law in Texas, which was fairly common sense law that exists in many other states. He's been running the department in a very political way since the beginning. And so I think he has a lot of answers that he needs to give Congress, and he needs to be a little bit more transparent on how the DOJ under him have been making their decisions and what information he's known and when he's known it, because frankly, there's a lot of scandal within his department, and when you have that much scandal falling under you, at some point the Attorney General has to speak out for his responsibility for it.
Yeah, I mean, I would think if he was a person who took personal responsibility, he would make a move like John Poindexter did, say the buck stops here and resign. And I personally think that's what he should do, but it seems they just continue to push forward a leftist agenda. Do you see that changing between now and the election time, or do you think they'll do any window dressing there, or do you think they'll continue to push the agenda that seems to be more and more left?
They'll continue to push that agenda. The gas prices is a perfect area where you can look at Americans are suffering at the pump, and if the president wanted to do the right political thing and move towards the center, he'd be offering solutions that Department of Energy and Department of Interior and Congress could work on to actually help ease that suffering. But as Secretary Chu has said in the past, he wants gas prices to be high. President Obama is offering to raise taxes on oil producers, which of course will increase the price of gasoline.
Right.
So if he's going to continue moving left on issues like energy, when every American who pumps gas in the morning can think about that issue, then I don't see any move to the center for him.
Do you think that that the president can get reelected with those kinds of strategies? I mean, what kind of odds would you give him at this point?
Well, I'm not an odds maker. I would say that if you're looking at how Obamacare is increasing premiums on health care premiums on families, if you're going to look at the large number of American people who have left the workforce under President Obama and the high unemployment that still sits there,
right.
He's got a very tough case that he's going to make. I think a tougher case than probably most presidents in our lifetime have had to make for re-election. So, you know, he's got his work cut out for him.
No question about that. What do you think of Paul Ryan's budget that he just came out with, and what do you think of the timing of it?
Well, you know, the funny thing about Paul Ryan's budget is it's interesting in Washington how it's getting so much more attention than the president's budget, which speaks volumes to the seriousness that's coming out of this White House. When they put out a budget, it's almost immediately ignored. Last year's budget got voted down unanimously by the U.S. Senate. Harry Reid's Senate Democrats haven't passed a budget in almost 1,100 days. So Paul Ryan's the only one putting out serious solutions out there. He's going to be the leading alternative, I think, to liberal budget proposals. He's tackling the right issues like Medicare reform and tax reform, and of course he eliminates Obamacare. And these are things that need to be talked about, need to be debated. Whether or not we end up where Paul Ryan's budget is, at least it's a starting point for the discussion on the conservative side of what needs to be done to start working towards a balanced budget in the next 10 years.
Let me chase something that you just said. We haven't passed a budget in how many days did you say?
Nearly 1,100 days.
1,100 days. It is obviously Congress's responsibility to do that, correct?
It's their legal responsibility. President Obama has been flaunting the law on this issue.
How can we, as the American people, as a government, how can we compel Congress to do what they are lawfully bound to do?
Well, the only way for citizens to compel Congress is through the electoral process. Unfortunately, for the we've already went through one midterm election, and that did not compel the Senate to act and fulfill their duty on the budget side. Harry Reid has made it clear that he's not planning on introducing a budget this year. So we're going to continue through this fiscal mismanagement until someone else is leading.
Mr. Harry Dead on Arrival Reid. That's the name that ought to be on the back of his jersey if he plays softball or something.
Well, you know, you look at just recently, the House passed the Jobs Act. The president supported the Jobs Act, and the Senate's not even moving on it. Mm-hmm. So you're right. There are things that the Senate can be doing right now that they're simply just not. I mean, watching the Senate during the day is just watching nothing in action.
You know, it's unbelievable. I've not seen anything like this in my lifetime. Let me move on to, let's say, and I think this is probably the case, that Mitt Romney gets the nomination. Looking at what we have right now, that's the way it appears to me, at least. In a head-to-head matchup between Governor Romney and President Obama, how does Governor Romney differentiate himself from the health care standpoint? Obviously, there's Romney Care in Massachusetts, and the president has Obamacare. Both of them have individual mandates. How does Romney differentiate himself to the American people and make a compelling argument that he doesn't think that's a good idea, because he did think it was a good idea in Massachusetts, and he stood by that?
Well, the Massachusetts plan and President Obama's health care reform are two very different pieces of legislation. We talk about some of the similarities a lot in the news, but we don't talk about the differences. In Massachusetts, no taxes were raised. Obamacare is almost one huge tax hike on the American people. President Obama said that you could keep your plan if you like it, and the Congressional Budget Office says 3 to 5 million people are going to be losing their health care plans in the immediate future. And then when you talk about what it's going to do to spending, if the Supreme Court knocks down the individual mandate, this becomes a death spiral for this piece of legislation, which is still very unpopular, which is abnormal for a huge entitlement program. So President Obama is going to have a hard time defending that law. Governor Romney has clearly stated that he's on the repeal side, which is a good thing. Most conservatives are on the repeal side. In fact, every conservative is on the repeal
certainly
side.
Certainly I am.
And so if we keep talking about repealing this law and then offering the same solutions we've been offering for years on health care reform, which includes allowing individuals to have the same tax breaks individually that they get at work so they can have better choices, then he's going to have a very easy debate on that level.
We're talking today to Rory Cooper, Communications Director at the Heritage Foundation. One last question for you. In terms of repealing Obamacare, if Mitt Romney were to win the nomination and win the general election and become president, I've heard him on both sides of this. Do you think he would repeal Obamacare in its entirety, or do you think he would repeal pieces of it?
there is only one path to repeal Obamacare, and that is in its entirety. You cannot chip away at this because the foundation isn't strong enough to be able to support a program without all the pieces that President Obama put into it. You need to repeal it completely and then start over. If you start trying to replace bits and pieces here, we're going to have just a terrible entitlement program that's going to suffocate the federal government and American people's liberty for years to come. So you have to repeal it entirely.
Outstanding. All right. We're talking today to Rory Cooper, Communications Director at the Heritage Foundation. If folks want to find out more about you and the Heritage Foundation, how would they do that?
They can go to heritage.org, and certainly they can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Heritage, and they can sign up for the Morning Bell, which they get every morning for 275,000 people, which is a great start to your day to find out what's going on in the conservative world.
And that is the heritagefoundation.org, correct?
Heritage.org.
Heritage.org. We'll put a link up on our website so folks can go on and sign up for that.
Great.
Rory, thanks so much for being with us today. You've been a great guest.
It's been great. Have a good day, y'all.
All right, my pleasure. All right, we're